Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of the Property Exchange podcast. This time, the London lettings market. How and where do tenants want to live now? And how should landlords respond? This time around, we're focusing on the current mood in the central London lettings market. We'll be exploring why demand is returning. Is the main driver the return to the office? Do tenants now want different kinds of properties compared with before the pandemic? And are there any new rental hotspot areas emerging? To try and answer these questions, I'm joined by Harriet Darlow, Lettings Manager for Winkworth West End. Harriet, thanks for joining us. Harriet, we know that the lettings market is quite hot nationwide. How does that compare with your area? Is it really motoring at the moment?
Yes. At the moment, we're seeing a huge increase of applicants coming back into central London. They really are looking to find a new 12-month tenancy as quickly as possible to get back into city life. We found, obviously, during COVID, a lot of people handed in their keys, flew back overseas. But now all the large corporate firms are reopened, universities are open, shops, bars, restaurants. We are really having a huge influx of applicants looking to rent as quickly as possible.
So are rents going up as a result?
Yes, definitely. Rents are back on the up, which is quite nice to see after 2 years of real major upheaval for landlords.
For what kinds of property in particular?
On a whole, in general, anything from your bread and butter one bed flat at £500 a week to £3,000 a week penthouse overlooking the river, they are all on the up again. I must say the high end stock goes to corporate clients with the corporate world back up and running in central. A lot of relocation agents are now searching again for huge corporate firms. But again, as universities are reopening, we are letting a lot of the one bed, £500 a week flats as well.
So it's really hot out there. Do you sense that landlords could be missing out? Are some still quitting the industry?
Landlords aren't tending to quit the industry. They tend to come on now as managed landlords. There's a lot more regulations in place. So if you come on as a managed landlord, it takes the liability off of the landlord, and we take on the responsibility to make sure all the specific necessary checks are in place, like the new EICR regulations, which means the property has to be electrically sound throughout, not just individual items inside the flat. It's the whole property that now needs to be safe as well. So we're seeing a lot more landlords managed rather than taking their properties off the market full stop.
So they're relying on you to do all the tough stuff and to comply with the rules.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's a weight off of landlords' shoulders, especially with the ever-changing legislation that you have to follow. It just means that landlords can buy multiple properties and have a business as such and an income and sleep easy at night.
Right. We're on a tour of your patch. Take us through each area and what makes it special.
Okay, so Bloomsbury, it's a quiet residential area, but you have the British Museum. It's famous for its literature. There's a lot of famous artists who live there. If you go down to Covent Garden in Soho, it's much more lively, it's vibrant. There's bars, restaurants, you've got Chinatown. If you go up to Fitzrovia and Marylebone, it has much more of a feel to it. There's the Ginger Pig Butchers, Marylebone High Street, which it has a nice village feel. Holborn, it borders Chancery Lane, which is obviously the legal hub of the UK. So it's much more businessy. Mayfair, it's home to the world's most famous hotels and luxury shops.
all those gorgeous, diverse areas of central London. Is there any area that's the top area right now?
I'd say each area is unique in its own sense that, yes, they all border one another, but they have their own identity. I'd say that the hottest place at the moment is probably actually around Tottenham Court Road tube station. There's a lot of new builds there with Centrepoint. Charing Cross Road has a lot of new purpose-built blocks opening. And I think Crossrail coming in a couple of hundred yards down the road. It really is a hub where you're able to walk to Covent Garden, Soho, Fitzrovia. You kind of have everything on your doorstep right there.
So that area that we thought of as slightly anonymous, that area around Tottenham Court Road tube station, is actually taking on the air of a new London village.
Yes, exactly.
All those gorgeous bookshops down the Charing Cross Road, close to the theatres, close to Crossrail. Now, take us a little bit further, going down the road towards Bloomsbury. Who wants to rent there?
So Bloomsbury, I feel not many people actually know about Bloomsbury. It's quite a secret location. It's most famous for its literature, the British Museum. There's a lot of famous artists who live there. There's a real mixture of people who become tenants there. You could be a French family going to the French school in Bedford Square. It may be a pied-à-terre for somebody who has a second, well, their main home in Surrey. It could be somebody who wants to walk to the city, who's a banker, who doesn't want to actually live in the city. Or it could be an LSE UCL master's student. There's a real mix of people who could live in Bloomsbury.
That's a new trend, isn't it? Walking to work.
Yes, exactly. I noticed hugely during COVID, the few people who were looking at that time very much wanted to only be able to walk to work and walk to shops and restaurants and bars. They did not want to get on the tube. And I think that trend has carried on ever since. And it's a huge thing people look for now when they're renting.
So I suppose Bloomsbury to the city, if you get it up at quite a quick pace, you could be there in half an hour.
Yeah.
And done your steps for the day.
Exactly.
Is there a kind of tenant that says, Harriet, I want to live in Soho?
Yes, there is. Soho tends to be a much more vibrant, fun, lively place to live and visit also. There's lots of bars, restaurants, there's the Royal Opera House in Covent Garden, walking distance to theatres. Again, you do get a real mix of people who live there. We have a lot of tenants who have been on Dean Street, for example, for 15 years, and they will only ever rent Dean Street or on one of these small Soho village streets.
So Soho, no longer sleazy but chic. The perception of people outside London is that nobody actually lives on those streets in Soho. They're entirely wrong, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. I think people from outside of London or on the suburbs, they tend to come into central London to shop, to go to restaurants and bars, but they don't actually look up and look at the huge amount of residential flats above and houses actually in Soho and Fitzrovia, Marylebone, that are above all the shops and bars and restaurants. And I think people are missing out on living in central London by not knowing this information.
But what about the outside space? Do people say, Harriet, I need a garden, I need a park?
So I think tenants are quite fortunate in these locations that you are still, whether you live in Marylebone or Holborn or Soho, you're still always walking distance to a park. You have Hyde Park, Regent's Park, St James's Park, Green Park. And of course, a garden is extremely desirable. Everyone would love a garden, especially in central London where they're so rare. But tenants are happy to be able to just walk to one of these huge luxury parks.
Yeah, one forgets that from Fitzrovia, it's 20 minutes to Regent's Park. You could walk in another direction and go to St James's Park, to Green Park. It's a little known statistic that 47% of the space in Greater London is actually green, and people can forget that. Are landlords catering for people's requirement for outdoor space? Are they choosing to invest in apartments with balconies, say?
I think so, yes, that there are only a limited amount of properties with gardens and balconies and so on. So there is restraints on that. But I think some of the main things tenants are now looking for since COVID, and what they're, of course, outdoor space is a huge plus. But tenants are now looking at things we never really thought of before, like how much natural light is there, how fast the Wi-Fi speeds, can you get hyperoptic Wi-Fi, is there a second bedroom that could be turned into a study, or is there even room in the dining room to create a study? So there are all these little things that tenants are now asking before coming to view properties, and we're actually seeing quite a lot of inquiries of people with dogs now since the COVID puppy boom.
And are landlords happy to accept tenants with pets?
On a whole, yes, but it very much actually depends on the freehold of the building, whether the freehold actually allows pets. But I would say our landlords have been extremely understanding and reasonable during COVID, with tenants' new requests and tenants leaving and the price change. They've adapted very well, and I think now they're just really looking forward to achieving some new prices.
Harriet, have there been any bidding wars on particularly nice homes?
Yes, I'd say with the high-end stock at the moment, we are seeing it going to sealed bids since the corporate companies are back in central London.
And when you say high-end, give us a picture of what kind of property that would be.
I'd say high-end stock would be something that's £3,000 a week or more. Might be a penthouse in a purpose-built block with 24-hour concierge, lift, balcony, overlooking the river, as we said earlier. That's high-end stock.
So a room with a view, but also room service is what people want.
Yes, exactly.
Now, for somebody outside London, they'd be thinking, I wonder what's the dream home in the West End? Is it an apartment? Is it a period house somewhere on one of those garden squares in Fitzrovia or Bloomsbury? Or is it a really chic little flat above a restaurant somewhere on a busy street in Soho? What is the dream home?
I think it varies quite a lot. It depends on what the applicant's looking for. Like you said, it could be a Georgian Grade 2 listed townhouse in Mecklenburg Square with a spread over five floors with a garden, opposite a private garden as well, where you have the key. And for example, Mecklenburg Square has a 2-acre garden, has tennis courts, it has barbecues. Or they might be looking for something much more sleek and shiny.
I understand that one of the properties that you've been marketing is the Carinthia Residences. Where are they and what makes them special?
Yes, so they are residential flats that are attached to the Carinthia Hotel. They're quite unique in the sense that you have access to the hotel. You have 24-hour room service. You have access to the eSpa spa and gym.
Also, great views across the river. Because the Carinthia Hotel is actually near Whitehall, isn't it?
Yes, it's on Whitehall. So you're still walking distance down to the river. You're walking distance into Soho Covent Garden to do your shopping in restaurants and bars. But it is a super luxurious place to live with incredible facilities and amenities from the hotel.
And also incredible views across the river.
Yes, exactly. Beautiful views across the river, which is what some people do look for their dream property in central London.
So there is so much there in central London that people don't actually think about when they've just come up for the day. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Property Exchange. It's great to hear what's happening on the ground. And thank you also for this tour that you've given us of all these great areas. And who would have thought that people would be walking to work again? Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast, where again we'll be talking about a key trend in the property market.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.